Hello, I am MG Cease, the host of the Through Ball podcast through WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. This week I'll be going over Alabama women's soccer game against Texas A&M women's soccer. We'll be talking about what happened there, game analysis, overview of fans, atmosphere, moving into my list of key players, and then I'll give a brief look ahead to later this week when the Crimson Tide faces the Auburn Tigers. So, without any further ado, let's get into it. All right, let's go ahead and start with some logistics and atmosphere notes. It was senior night for the Crimson Tide. It was also the first game that the Tide played under the lights in Tuscaloosa. So there were 8 seniors recognized. Those seniors were given flowers. They took a picture with head coach Wes Hart. They took pictures on their own. They acknowledged their adoring fans. And I'm not kidding there. The announcer actually did call out who was there supporting each senior. And then, of course, those seniors, you know, waved, acknowledged the fans. And their other teammates obviously hooped and hollered when their senior teammates' names were called. There was a movie that was played after that acknowledgement, right before the typical Alabama social justice video that they typically show. And that movie showed, or video, whatever you want to call it, showed highlights of each senior's Alabama soccer career and then their childhood soccer memories. So the seniors stood at the center circle, the middle of the field. The whole team stood a little bit behind them. They watched the video. Afterwards, a full team picture was taken. So it was nice. I thought it was a good way to recognize the seniors in this super bizarre, pandemic-riddled season. So let's get a little bit more into the atmosphere of the game. It was a cold night. There was a smaller crowd section in general. Now, I don't know if that has to do with the cold or what, but there were only 118 fans there. To put that into perspective, at the last home game, that was against Ole Miss, there was 135 fans there. Now, this in part could be because there's a very small Texas A&M presence, which makes sense considering that's a haul to Tuscaloosa, and the Ole Miss fans really didn't have that far to travel, but still, only 118 fans. Ben Smith, the designated crowd hype man, was there pregame handing out shakers and hyping up Alabama fan sections, and there were still tailgaters there, so there were still people watching outside the stadium from their cars. I mean, it was dark and cold, and they were mostly sitting in front of or in their trunks on lawn chairs wrapped up in blankets. But you got to give them credit where credit's due. They were there and they were watching. They were not going to miss the first and only home game under the lights for the Crimson Tide in this fall season. Now, I just want to quickly read you a little game note that I wrote about the Alabama hype video that they play before the game starts. Hype video pregame hits different under the lights. So it was definitely a fun experience. The night before Halloween, a full moon, kind of spooky maybe. And the cheers for any senior who was announced in the starting 11 were definitely louder. So overall, you know, it was a smaller fan section, but they were excited and they were really here for the seniors. So now let's go ahead and move into the game analysis. Texas A&M started the scoring early. And by early, I mean less than a minute into the game. And they took the ball off of Bama right after Bama kicked off. It resulted in a Texas A&M corner. There was some traffic in the box, and Texas A&M eventually was able to tow it into the back of the net. That would be Taylor Pounds. It was credited with the goal, and that was her first goal of the season for the Aggies. So actually seeing what the game was going to be like didn't really start until after that goal, once everything had settled down a little bit, and it ended up looking like the game was going to be determined by whoever controlled the midfield. But let's not discredit the front three for Alabama, because it was clear early on that even though that game might be won in the midfield, Riley Mattingly, center forward, she had a point to prove. So in my notes, I have this written just to start off my little segment right here. Card or goal by end of match seems to be her mindset. And she was hungry for a goal. She has not scored since the season opener against Tennessee. She netted 2 in that game. And if you remember, both Mattingly and Hart weren't even fully satisfied with that performance because of what the 9 role demands of the player. So as a recap, center forward, also called the 9, they are meant to score goals and create goal-scoring opportunities. So Mattingly didn't get a goal, but she did provide enough dangerous looks early on in the game that the Texas A&M goalkeeper actually started yelling at her back line to mark Mattingly and Verpale specifically. And now this didn't even just happen on set pieces. I mean, even if there was the beginning of an Alabama attack coming in from the midfield, Texas A&M's goalkeeper wanted those two marked. So the Aggies did not score again until the second half. Crone came off her line and just missed the ball. It actually looks like she maybe even got a fingertip on it. Verpale came running in behind to try and make a goal line save, but she couldn't get there in time. And then Lainey Carroll did get that goal for the Aggies. That was her second goal of the season. So now that we've covered the score, let's go into some more just general game observations. So the Texas A&M bench was loud. They had a lot of practice chants, and they yelled like the student section in Bryant-Denny at football games on a third down for the opposing team, just trying to make noise and distract that team when there was a UA throw-in near their bench. So I just thought that was interesting. I didn't really understand a lot of their chance, maybe because I was only partially paying attention to them, but they had practiced them, and I don't know if they do them only for Alabama, for all the teams, but that was an interesting experience. So the refs did let the game play on a good bit. There were a few rough instances that play didn't stop, just some pushing and shoving. Now, there were 2 instances that I want to bring up where play did stop, just because, to be honest, I kind of thought they were a little funny. So the first was in the 55th minute. The ref stopped the clock because he believed that Texas A&M was wasting time getting ready to throw the ball back in, and Alabama players were confused on the field. It was quiet enough at that point where you could hear them. They were saying stuff like, "What's going on? What's happening?" And one of the players responded and said, "Well, the ref thought they were wasting time, so he stopped the clock." And Mattingly's response to that was, "I like that," and then started clapping. And then my second instance is just when a ref was just done messing around in the 62nd minute, pardon me. Crone comes out of the net to get a ball. She and the Texas A&M player go down, but Verpale heads it away. So the important part here is that Crone comes out to get the ball. She and the A&M player go down. She's not the one who clears it away originally. So the Texas A&M coach is screaming at the ref, "How wasn't that a foul?" You know, that kind of thing. So the ref stops the clock, and he ran over. And I don't know if he went over to explain to the coach how that wasn't a foul, but I also think it might have been possible at that point that he was telling the coach if he didn't stop yelling at the ref, he was going to get carded. So it was obviously disappointing that Alabama lost, but they didn't give up the fight even though they were shut out. So it was actually a lot similar to the Ole Miss game, which is the only other shutout so far against Alabama this season, and it was also a 2-0 loss. So it was similar in that sense that they fought to the last second. The team didn't seem outplayed. It was honestly pretty evenly matched, especially if you look at the stats. Alabama had 7 shots with 2 on goal. Texas A&M had 10 with 4 on goal. So not a huge difference there. Texas A&M was lopsided in the corners they earned, but they weren't really able to deliver on any other than that first goal. So the team, the Crimson Tide was definitely fighting to the finish. So I want to move into my list of key players. First one would be Riley Mattingly. Now, we've already covered just her performance in this game. I'm just going to go ahead and reiterate here, even though she's not getting goals, she is still, I think what sticks out to me is that she's still providing a fire up top to just try and keep the spirit up, keep the rest of the team in the games, even when they've gone down. And she just continues to push until, you know, that last whistle's blown at regulation 90. Second player I want to highlight is Wirtz. She just spent the entire game just streaking up and down the sidelines to create opportunities for UA looks. I mean, she put the burners on, and it wasn't even just the sidelines is actually what I thought was so impressive. I mean, she would just put the burners on and just have Texas A&M players missing left and right, taking the ball straight up the middle of the field. So she was determined to at least create some looks for her team if she was not going to be able to score. Another player on a similar note was Wyatt. She hustled any time that she came in, and she was definitely hungry to repeat her performance against LSU. If you will remember, she scored last week a brace, so two goals, within a minute of each other. In my notes, this is what I have written on that. Wyatt looks prepared to take on entire Texas A&M backline if she needs to. So, moving from my list of players up top to my more defensive players, Clem had a great game. She was just making, I call them FBS, full body sacrifices, just really doing whatever she needed to do to block the ball, stop the attack in the midfield whenever possible, and give her team a chance to win the ball back and go on attack. I thought she did a really great job providing that defensive and just authoritative presence for Alabama in the midfield and even in the defensive third against a very good Texas A&M team. My last key player, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one, is Bryn Martin. Now, I think that she's truly the anchor of the back line, and it really showed in this game. It's been evident throughout past seasons and even throughout this season, but this game in particular, I was just really keeping an eye on her. Maybe it's because she's a senior, so she had been in my head as a player that I needed to really keep an eye on. But she was being a very vocal veteran presence for the back line and for the whole team. And then she does this a lot, but I really did notice in this game because even though Alabama went down early, and I do still think that the midfield controlled most of the game, Alabama was trying to push up. So when the outside backs did push up, she would move in next to Bella Scatura and would help play the role of center back and even last defender. In a couple of instances, she would drop back and be that last defense before Crone. And she was not and has not been afraid to take on a 1v1. So I just think she had a really great game. So now for the through ball of this game. So my pick comes from the 82nd minute. Verpale sent a ball down the left flank to Mattingly. It ended in an Alabama corner, and Pham was really ready to get right in there and try to get a goal in the last minutes to at least avoid a shutout. As a side note, Pham is getting more limited minutes later in the season than she was at the beginning. She's still not quite getting that consistent starting nod that she did in the first few games, but she is clearly looking to goal. When she does get time in the game off the bench, she's coming in strong and has that on her mind. So back to the through ball. Nothing came of it, but it was just a really great ball from Verpale to Mattingly. And I personally just thought that it showed that the Crimson Tide was really still fighting and was not going to just let Texas A&M take on a defensive, bunkered stance for the rest of the game. They were going to have to stay on their toes They couldn't just drop back and park the bus, so to say. They're going to have to really keep Alabama from letting the game get wide because they were going to utilize their backs. And they were looking a goal until the last minute of the game. So the next game that the Crimson Tide will play is the Iron Bowl of SEC soccer. They are facing the Auburn Tigers. Auburn has a record of 3-1-2, so that's 3 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws. They're currently third in the SEC West and ranked 15th nationally, so they have moved up. If you have been paying attention to the SEC West standings in particular throughout the season, Auburn struggled early on. They were below Alabama for a good portion of the season, but they have kind of turned it around. They're on a hot streak, and they have moved up into the national rankings, which Alabama did hold that 15th position coming into the Florida game. So that would be their week 3 is when they were knocked off, upset by the Gators. So now Auburn has that position. So the last time that these two teams faced in a regular season was fall of 2019. Alabama lost to Auburn 3-2 in double overtime, which means that Auburn scored that last goal in the second 10-minute period as its sudden victory. But after that loss, the Crimson Tide came back and beat the Tigers 2-1 to move on to the quarterfinals in the SEC tournament. They ultimately lost to Vanderbilt, but that is that historic run that's only been done a couple of times so far in the Crimson Tide's program history. So competition between Alabama and Auburn, that rivalry runs very deep and is intense, but you would assume after such a close game, loss in double overtime, and then sending a team out of a tournament, that this game, both teams are probably going to have a point to prove, particularly Alabama, having thought that they snapped their losing streak with that wild draw to LSU, but then ultimately falling short against Texas A&M. So they're going to want to get at least another win, because if not, they will only have one win on the season from the season opener. So if they win against Auburn, it'll be bookending the 8-game regular season with 2 wins. So this game is on Friday, November 6th. It was supposed to be on Sunday, but Auburn faced some postponed games early in the season because of some COVID concerns across the SEC with a couple different teams. So the Tigers are now working to reschedule with teams, and this game was consequently moved. So again, that game is going to be Friday, November 6th. It will kick off at 6 p.m. Central Time, and it will be broadcast on SEC Network Plus. So I hope everyone tunes into that game to watch the Iron Bowl. Don't know why you wouldn't. Big game. And as usual, if you have anything that you like, want to hear more of, let me know. Send me a tweet, a DM, whatever. And this has been the Through Ball.